Welcome to the Orlando Lions Den Podcast. Your number one Orlando City podcast. For the fans, by the fans. Keeping you in the know on all things Orlando City since 2018.
Hello, hello. Welcome to another edition of Orlando Lions Den. Not one that we thought we'd be having to make so early, but yet so late in the season. A sad one, a not so happy one. We've been so up and high and awesome for feels like months now, and it all came crashing down. We're gonna get into it. It's your boy Alex Brown. We're here with my friends and my co-hosts and a wonderful team that we have here. We got Eddie, Ryder, and Mike on tonight, talking about the knocked us out match against Columbus. We're going to get into a bunch of stuff today. Let's do our intros. What's up, Eddie? How you feeling?
Man, I'm still down, man. Not over it. Still mad. I'm just thinking, like, what was, you know, already thinking here? How did this happen? How did that miss happen? Why, you know, like, I don't know, man. This is like giving me seasonal depression. I'm not handling it well. I never, you know me, you're saying this just last pod, right? That I never, I'm the most cynical usually, or the last one to fully believe. And I finally got to there, and, you know, and then that's, now I'm like, that's what I get for believing. You know, but I guess Billy Shakes said it best, you know, better to love than lost and not loved at all.
Yeah. I hate to say that he couldn't sleep the night of the match. And I was like, that makes two of us, buddy.
Right. That makes, like, two of us. At a minimum, he should have said that. I hope he said it for the next week, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. It was a tough one. It was definitely a tough one. Ryder, how you doing, man, down there in Naples? You're on your laptop tonight?
Yeah. At least I have lights this week. Wish
and
I could
nice
say
shirt too. Go Noles.
Yeah, I got this when I was at the game a couple weeks ago. Unfortunately, I've been a witness to tragedies 2 weeks, two sporting weekends in a row. First Jordan Travis, and now the Orlando season, and it's tough. I had to drive home after that. Like, you guys. We all hugged and peaced out, and I stayed. I stayed until the players walked off the pitch. And if anyone ever says, "Oh, they don't care, they're not upset, they can go on with their lives," I'll fight you. Because those guys, I've never seen so many grown men cry like that. It's so, because they put everything out there. They, after the match, Columbus is celebrating, and they all walk up to the supporters and they walk around, they applaud, our players applauded us, and they walk down the tunnel and they just cried, man. It was so sad to watch, but it was just, it's hard. It's hard. It's still hard, and it's been half a week and I'm still processing. And now what? I had to rely on the Chicago Bears on Monday Night Football to give me joy. That's depressing.
And somehow they won in the most non-joyous way possible.
First time since 1993 that the Chicago Bears have won a football game without scoring a touchdown. That's unbelievable.
93.
Yeah, I'm sad. Year you were born, I'm sure.
Oh yeah. Well, at least we were all sitting together minus Eddie, but it was fun. I mean, we had some good reactions, and when we're right down the line,
the
players tunnel, and we're right down the line on the Ojeda shot, and he missed it by like 6 inches. And when I tell you, I've watched thousands of hours of sports, thousands over the course of my lifetime, maybe even tens of thousands, I don't know, but just you get the point. And I can't say I've ever felt my heart actually, like, just standing there go from, like, you know, kind of heart rate to like I almost felt like I was going to have a heart attack. I my heart was literally pounding out of its chest. I could my body could feel the almostness that happened. So it was so so close to just ending the match on the last kick. And I just it the more you think about it, it's like we make that goal, we're probably MLS Cup champions. I think is the way it would have worked out. So
if oh, well. And butts were candy and nuts, we'd all have a Merry Christmas.
Yeah, that's what my football coach used to say. It's been around the holiday season for sure. Mike, you were there too. We were all together. You were Duncan got subbed off. You took off your jersey because you were like, screw it, I gotta go back to the just the lucky shirt only. There were some moments, man, but what's up, Mike? How you feeling? How you been recouping?
Yeah, no shade to Duncan whatsoever there. It was just one of those things where I'm like, you know, I've been wearing the same outfit for every game. I'm like being superstitious. Let me go ahead and back to riding with it. It was a bummer, man. It's heartbreaking. We all kind of felt like this was the year. It was going to be a moment of magic, and it was there for us to take. And it's upsetting, you know, a couple, you know, simple mistakes from a team that didn't make a whole lot of mistakes down the stretch. And it sucks. Obviously, you know, we all wanted more, but this is where we're at. And we got a good core. So at least I'll take that. And now we just got to wait and see what's next.
Yeah, I pick and choose when I want to be superstitious. And you guys can all blame me. I haven't told anybody except Aaron this. But I have this purple pair of underwear, and they were dirty before the game, and you know I couldn't wear dirty underwear. It's just I don't know, some dudes may be able to do that, flip them inside out or whatever, but I couldn't do it. So I went with a off pair, and I still think, you know, I felt like Ojeda. Maybe it was my fault. I don't know. So oh well, we move forward to next year. I've been recouping at least the Knowles one. It was hilarious because I showed up and I was like, you know, I put a parlay on my impending doom, my misery of Columbus winning and Florida State losing, you know, just in case like the whole sports day went to crap for me. I was like, at least I'll be $150 richer off like 10 bucks, you know, whatever. And it went to extra time and my bet wouldn't even hit. So if the Noles wouldn't have won, I would have been even more miserable because I wouldn't have even gotten paid out, even though Columbus still advanced. So that would have, it was a stressful night for all of us, for sure. But let's quickly get into our sponsors, and we'll talk a little bit more about the match. We'll obviously shout out Field Turf like we always do, Field Turf USA, given you know, doing all those cool pitches in the sidelines around the world. They're such a huge force. With that, we're grateful to have them on. You got Leo. With the Epic Mortgage Group, still writing mortgages. Leo's back in town full time, always looking for business, always looking to help people out. So if you're interested in getting more information about the mortgage industry, about, you know, refinancing, things like that, home equity loans, stuff like that, just give Leo a call. He can help you out. 407-844-7696. You got our man Eddie here. He doesn't like when I do the full pitches, but about the insurance, because like I always say, it's like toilet paper, but insurance is what you need when you need it. So give Eddie a call. Your rates are going up. Home insurance especially is absolutely insane. If you own a house, I know we have a lot of listeners that do have houses, and you know, you may not see it, your mortgage is just built into your mortgage. Your mortgage goes up $60 a month. You're like, what the heck happened? Can't get a straight answer. Chances are it was not only your taxes, it was also your insurance as well. So if your mortgage is going up and you don't know why, check on that insurance premium. Remember, insurance is always fully refundable. That's the one thing that I think most people don't know. You can cancel at any time and get a prorated amount back and get your mortgage down pretty much immediately. So call Eddie. Shoot him a message, even just message the Orlando Lions in account, and we'll point you in the right direction for Eddie, who works at Liberty Mutual Insurance. And then finally, Mike has been the one of the shirts that you wear, Mike, I think is from Bootleg_MLS. They do a lot of fun stuff, you know, those the generic shirts and they have players on them, and they're really cool, and they pop out for sure. And they hit us up. They wanted us to share a code with you guys. If you guys are interested, on their website, go to their Twitter page at bootleg_MLS and follow the link to their site. And if you're interested in shopping, you get 15% off with code LionsDen. We don't get anything, any kickback or anything from that. It's just a code that they hooked us up with to share with you guys. All right, let's hop right into it. I feel like I am definitely still depressed. I feel like we're all a little bit, you know, 7 octaves lower than where we were for the last few weeks, but such as the game of life in sports. Orlando City lose 2-0 in extra time. Both goals come in extra time. We go down a man, well, like 75th minute, somewhere around there. Schlegel on its second yellow, which honestly, in my opinion, could have just been a straight red. It could have been, depending on the referee. But it wasn't. They didn't waste time to go back. So double yellow, Schlegel's out. And after that, we're weirdly creating more chances than we had created pretty much the entire game before. And we wait nicely and very patiently for our opportunities. Last kick of the game, basically, Faku to Ojeda. Ojeda on the left foot. Ojeda barely misses from what I would have assumed may have done structural damage to the stadium if that goal had went in.
They would have had to go back to the Citrus Bowl.
It was loud with a miss. It was very loud. And it just didn't go in. It's a tough angle. It's a shot that is, you know, it's not easy to make. It's a shot that maybe if Ojeda had more opportunities like that throughout the year, maybe he would have been able to put it in. But the guy is a substitute for better, for, you know, for lack of better terms, that's what he is, a substitute DP, and comes in and he gets one chance maybe every 2 or 3 games and can't expect him to make them all. So he barely misses. It was a great opportunity. It was a good effort. It wasn't, you know, horrible. And then they score early in extra time. Cesar, for the guy, has been amazing all year long, and I was really shocked to see his error trying to keep the ball, and then they turn it around and they make it pay. So kind of like how we made Nashville pay in game two. So it's, you know, one of those things that you can't make those mistakes, you know, especially one like when you're sitting on a red card, and you're down a man. And then we give the goal. And then once again, we just create more chances in that middle 20 minutes than we had created for ages. Kyle Smith has an awesome chance, and doesn't put it in. So Antonio Carlos, I think, had a header and he didn't get it square. And we just couldn't put it together, and they get a cheap goal and it goes 2-0. So, depressing. But it is kind of what you expect when you go down a man. I haven't figured out who I put it on yet. Every time I want to think it's about Rodrigo, I think about how there was 25,000 people there, and 25,000 people knew when Rodrigo got a yellow card in the 15th minute that something would have to be done about that to not get a red card. I don't know if Poppy was waiting for the go-ahead goal so he can – go down to that 5 in the back, or I don't know what he was doing, but overall, not what we had expected. I think everybody thought that we were the hottest team in the league. I think a lot of people thought, like I do, that the winner of this match is probably going to win the MLS Cup. I would not be shocked at all if Columbus gets it done,
especially after the news today.
Yeah, and it's going to be. It'll be even more heartbreaking if Columbus wins at all, for sure. So let's. I want to hear your thoughts. I don't know who you guys put the blame on. What you guys thought was the best opportunity? What you guys thought was the backbreaker? We'll start with you, Eddie.
I don't know if there's just one person to blame, really, to be honest. It's frustrating, but when you kind of take a step away from it, and I said it after each match, Columbus has outplayed us the majority of these matches. We played them for basically 300 minutes. I think they outplayed us probably for 220 of them, you know, for the most part. Yes, we scored. We're down twice and scored, but this is, as you know, this was chasing the game, going forward, just throwing the kitchen sink out there, right? You know, three strikers, four, you know, just a ton of attackers at the same time, and getting the win at home by doing that, and then that draw that really turned our season around in Columbus. Those were for a while there during those matches, it looked like they were just cutting through us and could score more. And even in the first half, yes, we'll talk about what chances they had. Pedro had to get low on one save, made a good save on another, and they I think Rossi missed just as close as Faku missed on his shot early. And I also felt like earlier on, we felt like the Orlando City of old, where we're like, we got one or two good chances, we got to take them. Where recently we had been creating a little bit more offense, but I definitely felt like the Crew had pinned us back in our half. They were the protagonist. We could not get out of our own half. Players who are normally clean on the ball were not, like Wilder. I didn't think he had the best game. Mauricio was just, anytime Mauricio and Faku got the ball, they got double teamed and they really just didn't have another outlet. I don't think we don't often play like triangles to get out of pressure. And these, you know, you don't see people close to each other. I don't feel like we have a lot of people close to each other. Sometimes Mauricio, Faku, sometimes, but when that happens, you have this space and this avenue where if you get pressured, where do you go? And I think we saw that quite a few times where I felt like we were just pinned back. Then the team's instincts are to kind of sit back too sometimes, and that's just how Oscar's had him all this time. And sometimes when you're in these situations where there's pressure, you kind of revert back to habits. And the Oscar's a more defensive coach, and maybe a game like this, let's you know, like a boxer, let's stay outside, jab, you know, kind of pick our time to punch. And I feel like we kind of did that more than we have recently. It worked in a way. Columbus didn't score until extra time, keeping Columbus, who's, you know, among the best scoring teams in the league, at bay for that long and down a man for 15 minutes was impressive. You know, Rodrigo, I mean, if you're going to blame someone, it's Rodrigo, because the first yellow, it's early, but it's you can see why it's a yellow. He basically like Charlie Horse some guy, you know, just need him. And, you know, he came through the back. That's going to be a yellow. And I don't agree with the fact that second yellow, he had to do that. Some people were saying he had to. I don't agree at all. Pedro was having a good match. Acucho's a good player, but he, you know, he was coming in from left to the right. Jansen was what, you know, Jansen, he has that little burst, that sprint. And you just, Pedro's a good goalie one-on-one. He stopped better people than Cucho Hernandez one-on-one. You got to give him a chance. Plus, we've shown that we can score against Columbus. So if we're down 1-0 with 11 men, it's not that big a deal. But being down to 10 men, you're you know, if you do one of those things, odds of winning, you know, where they keep track of your winning percentage chances, I think it's greater being down to 10 men than it is being down a goal. So can blame anyone. It's Rodrigo, Cesar. I don't know what he was trying to, like, fake an injury, because he came up lame with the hamstring for a second. I don't know if he was trying to fake a hamstring or he just trying to wait to get fouled. I don't know what he was thinking. That was just a crap goal to give up after so much time not allowing them to score. That's just not the goal I wanted to see. If they cut us open and scored, I'm like, fair enough. They had their chances, but I just didn't want to see that. So, and then Ojeda's chance, I'm on the opposite side of you guys. So I was from behind and I could see the angle real well. Like he probably missed by half a ball. But that's to the post. That's not into the goal. So maybe it's the post and ricochets off. It was a tough angle. The keeper had a great night. I think the save in the match was the header from Ramiro from Ojeda's, like, rocket cross. He probably got a concussion just trying to head that. That was the save of the day. Kyle Smith, he should have put that away. I think that was a better chance than Ojeda personally. And but Ojeda would have won the match at that point. And like you said, Alex, you had those moments where I felt like I was self-aware, like almost out of body. I'm like, this is going to be an epic moment. As he was lining up, I stood up because you see Falco slide it to him. And I'm like, this is it. I need to know. I need to remember this feeling because we're about, this place is going to go nuts. I'm going to witness a magical moment. And yeah, given Miazga suspended for Cincinnati, I do think we would have run the table if we had won this. And then, man, he just missed. And then I see Kyle Smith and I'm just like, yeah, you know, like he's a useful player, but that's not the guy you want shooting that, you know? Yeah, man, it's frustrating. I don't think it was, you know, I don't think anyone, I don't agree with the way we went about it. I wouldn't say Oscar got our coach or anything, but I wouldn't say there's anyone at fault. It's just, we didn't take our chances. I do think we didn't handle the pressure well. I think we lacked composure on the ball and with the way we were going at the ref, it didn't help. At the end of the day, Orlando City did what we do in play in second round of playoffs. We lose composure and lose our head. And it's not even most of the same people. I think the only people there are Rodrigo, Urso, and Mauricio. So actually, now that I think about it, it makes sense because they Rodrigo is the one who was the main corporate. So yeah, I don't know.
You think the time off had anything to do with it? 3 weeks and coming Columbus had what, yeah, two days or something.
I think so, but at the same time, like, is it, who cares? You know, I don't know. Like, you deal with it. You got time off. I don't know. Like, what does that even mean? Like, they got rest and momentum. I don't know how, it's not tangible to me. This sounds like after the fact an excuse, right? If Ojeda makes that, Kyle makes that, Cesar clears the ball and doesn't try to dribble the four crew players, does anybody care about the time off? No. So, you know, does the time off make Cesar decide to make a terrible decision like that? Does time off make Rodrigo be stupid like that? Does the time off make Kyle Smith brick that? You know, no. The time off get Schulte superpowers? We're back in the old days where goalies have the best matches of their lives against us. I don't know. The excuses don't. It was enough there for us to win despite that. So I don't. And yeah, we didn't look great, but we never looked great against the crew, barring 20 minutes and at home and 10 minutes away. Like they've outplayed us the whole time. Maybe it's just the way they play, but I felt like they've created better chances, more chances. We've had good saves. They've had bricks. And they had mistakes too. Sometimes we countered and score, but, you know, it was just like bad clearance by them or, you know, stuff like that. Ramiro, I mean, he had two goals, but they weren't like we cut him up. He just got rebounds, you know, and stuff like that. So it's not like we've owned them or anything like that. Well, we just threw the kitchen sink and they're not that great defensively and it worked, but we're not going to start a match like that, throw the kitchen sink at it. That's not what Oscar's going to do. And that's not necessarily smart either. So I think there was enough there where that excuse just doesn't fly enough to make a difference to me. I get it, but at the same time, bro, just clear the ball and make a shot. How about that?
Yeah. Can I counter argue that just on?
Hey, I'll go on to you next, Ryder.
I'm going to counter argue that only because I'm looking and this it is, I will say this. I went on the Miami podcast a lot this year, and they talked a lot about, are you guys going to make excuses after the fact? And this was one of the things, and I brought this up during Den After Dark, is this something that we need to be concerned about? And the only reason I think that it might have been it's a small factor is the amount of momentum that for us, which any momentum is good. We, looking at our record, the only multi-goal win we had in the win going into the playoffs was against Toronto and Montreal. Like the rest of it, you have to go back all the way to our win away against the Fire in August to find a multi-goal win. We weren't good at getting multi-goal wins. And yeah, we had a big six-game win streak heading into this match, but they were all very thin margins or small wins against bad teams. and we looked good, but we weren't great still. We hadn't faced big pressure. Yeah, that Columbus game happened, but again, it was Columbus. We barely got past them, and we did it at home, and we did it when our heads were cool and we were feeling hot in the dog days of the season. We had a couple weeks off. We got, and I'll say this as a fan too, we got too big for our britches. I was already making plans. Oh, I'm going to come up for MLS Cup, and I jinxed it. We all got ahead of ourselves thinking, oh, this is the team of destiny. And I mean, we talked about it last week. This is the team of destiny. This team is going to go places. And I think a small factor of that is giving us too much time to get in our own heads. Not so much that, oh, too much rest didn't help us or we got rusty. We just got in our own heads. And that was displayed with the lack of discipline by several players. And unfortunately, we talked about how Rodrigo had grown. And I'm not going to point fingers at him because this isn't a finger pointing thing. He got sent off and it is what it is. But we actually looked better after that. It just wasn't enough against a great Columbus team that has been counter-protagonisting, I don't know if that's a word, us all season. And it came to a head. They got in under our skin. The refs, there were some questionable calls, but I said on Den After Dark, you can't leave it to the judges. And you can talk all you want about the Ojeda shot. I mean, you can wish it all you want. And it was a great moment. And we all shared that moment looking, oh my gosh, it could have gone in. It could have sent this stadium into an earthquake, but it didn't happen. And we have to look at it and say, okay, there's some skill things we can work on offense, and we have to be more disciplined defensively, but it is what it is. And we have to learn lessons from that. And some of these players are going to have to live with that. And it's tough because we know they care. It's just they have to look at the result after the fact and go, this sucks. So I think that I agree that it's an excuse, but I think it is a one where it was one of the mental factors that went into this. I also think that we went into this thinking that we could score more early, and we didn't do that. We didn't score early. We didn't get the goals. We were playing from behind the ball pretty early because we gave up fouls, because we gave up yellow cards so early, and we had to be careful, and it still didn't work out for us. So I don't think there's any one person to blame. I think there's a lot of little paper cuts that led to us just losing. And yeah, getting to 90 minutes, if this was a regular season match, we'd call it a win. You got to 90 minutes down, man, and you got a 0-0 result. That's great. This is the playoffs. These are big moments, and you have to live up to those big moments. And we almost did. Almost. Almost only counts in horseshoes, hand grenades, and nuclear warfare. So,
yeah, I've never wanted penalties after 90 minutes more in my life. So,
if it had gotten penalties in 120, you want to talk about your heart stopping? I was going to need to sleep on one of your guys' couches because I would not have been able to drive home after that.
Yeah. I would have had a tough time driving home if Ojeda would have nailed that thing. That's for sure. I would have been, I don't even know, screaming, crying, whatever.
You would have jumped into the tunnel.
I thought Leo was close for when that ref had his 10 minutes of horribleness and an extra time. We shared a lot of thoughts at the game, and we were on the same page, and it was, it was a lot of things. But tell me where your head's sitting at with as far as the time off and is there anybody to blame?
So first off, I just want to say because of what you were saying there, I would have needed to see a doctor after 4 hours, basically, if that would have happened. So,
a little purple pill.
Yeah. But for me, it just felt like we went back into being overly pragmatic. Like, we let the game come to us too much. And for me, that's a tactical setup issue. I understand why it happened because of the attacking nature of Columbus, but I would have still liked to have seen it to a lesser degree. And for me, the only thing that I can hope from this is that this becomes a learning experience. That's the best that I can kind of get out of this, is that this is going to be a learning experience for this team going into next year. They now know that hopefully we can still go and play our game. We don't have to let the game come to us. We can bring the game to the opposing team. And that's something that's going to help us down the line and benefit us better in the future. So for me, tactical setup overall was a little bit to be desired, because I think we were very, very just, we played a lot of the game on our back foot. I feel like for like the first 15 minutes, we were still attacking pretty well. And then we kind of just let Columbus kind of take over the game. It was hard for us to get into it. Obviously the red card happened. We were then super, super defensive. Then they scored and it's like, holy crap, where's this team been with 11 men and the amount of attacking that we were doing? And credit to Patrick Schulte. Like, you know, hate to admit the other team doing something really well. Patrick Schulte stood on his damn head, man. Like, that Kyle Smith save, like, again, I'm with Eddie. Anybody else, I would have rather have been on that shot. It was still a really good save by Schulte. And then the two saves that he had on Ramiro were both class saves, you know? So it's disappointing. I'm still disappointed. I thought this team really was going to be one of the ones that was the team that could have gotten us the star over the crest. And I still think this team could be that team. It's just now it's going to be whatever happens next year and who they keep together to get that job done. So
on the plus side, I get to do a little bit more workout so I can have a little bit. I don't have as much stretchy skin when I get my tattoo. That's one thing I'm using as kind of a motivational goal. Got to be more fit for the tattoo.
As someone who has worked in a tattoo studio previously, it's not a bad idea. Stretchy skin can be a little bit more difficult. So
just imagine, guys, my generation is the one that I think invented the stamp on the back, the lower back, you know, for the ladies. So just imagine the
star stamp.
Just imagine in like 30, 40 years, what those are going to look like, you know, just think about that. You know, they're like, they're going to be like, what was that? Is that a Big Bird? And like, it was Tweety Bird when I got it, you know?
okay, Mike, give me,
I already got one of them. We're good.
Let's move into the stock up and stock down, the final one of the 2023 season. Give me some stock up and stock down if you got anything for me, Mike.
Oh, dude, it's a tough one, man. Like, I want to try and keep it to the game. So like the obvious stock down is going to be Schlegel. I agree with Eddie's statement. I don't think he had to make that foul. I don't think if Cucho got to it, I don't think it was going to be in an area where Pedro was going to struggle with it. And Pedro's also a pretty good keeper one-on-one. So, like, I kind of would have had confidence in him to do that based on the angles. So it's an unfortunate bummer to give it to Schlegel, especially after we were kind of talking his praises a lot on this pod. And stock up, man. It's sad to give it in a defensive effort, but I'm going to go to Robin Jansen, because for a while there, he was really playing – kind of proving the fact that he really should have been an MLS Best 11 defender and a candidate for Defender of the Year. And especially with Schlegel going out, he was really just kind of showing he's that dude. So sucks for sure to see him go out that way when he definitely was putting in a stellar performance. So yeah, those will be my two. It's just, it's somber.
Yeah, I agree. Eddie?
I mean, I hate to beat up on Rodrigo, but that seems to be the obvious, you know, choice.
Bad mistake, man.
Yeah, just YOLO Rodrigo's back. And everyone knew it, like you said. When he got that yellow at the 15 minute, I turned over to my buddies who went to the game with me. And I was like, this does not bode well. This guy's not built for this. You know, as I say, you don't have the facilities, man, bro. You know, he's not built for, and he's facing like three, like a Uruguayan and two Argentinians or something on the other team. Like they do that to each other. I was like, he's not built to handle that. And he wasn't, unfortunately. So, but he's been my guy all year. I don't think he had the great first half. I don't agree with the sub. I trust Wilder more to manage his yellow, which he frankly has to do all the time because he gets yellows all the time, than Rodrigo. So I wish they had pulled Rodrigo earlier at the half or something. I know Rodrigo wasn't playing poorly overall. He's on a good run, but it felt like when Carlos came in, I was like, Carlos is pretty good. Like he did really well. I was like, we should have had him in earlier. You know, I wouldn't, you know, he reminded me why we liked him so much. So I'm going to give, but that being said, they pulled him. I don't think he had the best first half. It was Wilder. I'll give him a little stock down just to balance it out, not pick on Rodrigo and stock up. Stock up. Yeah, I mean, Jansen's a good choice. I'll pick someone else for that. I'm going to actually give it to Ojeda because he missed that shot. I don't think it was that. It's not a sitter or anything. Anyone says that just needs to look at it again. But he created that great chance. It should have been a goal under normal goalkeeping for Ramiro. I think he's the one that slipped in Kyle Smith there too. I thought he was just impactful when he came in, and he was a big reason why we were peppering them and almost got the goal back. So get it to Ojeda and more in the, like, you know, let's build on that for next year. You could see he's a good player. So I'm going to give that to Ojeda a little bit, you know, change it up a little bit.
Yeah. I like that shot. I was thinking about that too. Ryder, I'm going to let you go first and then I got a list.
Oh gosh. I'm going to just not to harp on Rodrigo anymore. I know he feels bad. Mauricio, he did not look good. He did not have that clean passing. We've had the good Rodrigo, bad Rodrigo conversation all season, and he didn't show up for the big moment. He didn't create chances. He didn't have good passing or legs. It wasn't his night. So that's my stock down stock down. Please, can we not rebrand that next year so we don't get that confusion? We don't need more confusion. Stock up. I want to say Jansen, but I'm going to hold to finding somebody else. I think N'Golo had a decent outing. He wasn't great, but I think that he proved that we should pick up his option, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right. My turn.
Correction. Yeah, correction. It was Urso who played that to Smith, but I still keep my Ojeda. I thought he was impactful. Worked hard. Also,
finish your thought.
Yeah, and I thought he was, you know, yeah, that's it. Yeah, that's my stock up still.
And it's not an option. It's a buy his loan, to correct my own thing.
Here's my thing. It's the last game of the season. Everybody's stock was up, and we lost. So let me get into it. Stock down. Baku, Duncan, where the hell were you? All three games, really nothing from you guys. Took a magical winner from Cartagena and a gift from Dax McCarty to get through Nashville. Those two guys fell apart in the playoffs. 0-0, nothing from them at all in the playoffs. Rafael Santos, beautiful regular season, nothing again in the playoffs. Just went quiet, went dark. He had some opportunities. He aired a cross, but I didn't even remember him seeing do that all year. He did that against Nashville or against Columbus this past week. N'Golo learned just once, man. Just try and use your left foot, because he had a beautiful breakaway. Could have taken all my trash against Duncan off, because Duncan had a beautiful ball, and then N'Golo just tries to switch it to his right foot where the defender's on the inside. I don't get that, and I do get it because he's been doing it all year, but it's just super frustrating because you're supposed to learn from these sort of mistakes. Cesar, you're the most integral part of this team, but man, that is a boneheaded decision that you haven't made all season. Rodrigo Schlegel was the highest of the stock ups, and this is a retraction to the mean. This is a huge sell off for Rodrigo Schlegel, and that's pretty much where I stand. I mean, I'm mostly disappointed in Facundo Torres, to be honest. That's who I'm mostly disappointed in. His whole career, he's been a big game player, and he failed to show up. He is easily our guy. Oh, forget about Mauricio. I mean, goodness gracious. How many times do we look at each other in the first half, boys, and say, what in the heck is Mauricio doing? What uh-huh. He's not one step behind. He's three steps behind everything right now.
It was so rough.
It was hard to watch Mauricio play in that first half. But I'm mostly disappointed with Facu. And I love the kid to death. But he went ghost in the playoffs. And you're not a team that has your best player go ghost in the playoffs and you win at all. It just doesn't happen. Doesn't happen. It cannot. It's impossible. So I'm mostly disappointed with Facu, but there is a laundry list of guys that that failed to show up when it mattered the most, and that's just the fact of the matter. I love Janssen. Beautiful game. Did all that he could do. Pedro, I agree with you, Eddie. Should have had a chance, right, to stop that goal.
Yeah, and it was Rossi, not Cucho. In I got that wrong, but I'm trying to black out this game in my head. So,
oh, I didn't even watch the highlights. I'm still going off of
what. Yeah, I'm watching it now. But to your point. It did take an Angula, a Dax gift and a Wonder Girl from Wilder to beat Nashville. So, like what you were saying, Alex, earlier, writer, that we were winning and we were in control in these games, right? We weren't like threatened, but we weren't like out there cutting people up, you know?
Yeah, we weren't dominating. We were surviving. We survived Nashville. Yeah.
And we haven't scored on the crew other than, oh, crap, we're down two goals. Let's go all out. When it's everything's just even, 11-11, 0-0, then we did not – we were the worst team. And you know, and it's crazy. Like, Ojeda makes that, fuck, we got an assist. And that ball from Duncan to Angulo was absurd. He held it up, a reverse pass, left foot, through ball. That was an absolute fantastic play. And Angulo just, you know, that's why he's here. He's just
– To your point, Eddie. I could say stock down on Poppy too, because we got five goals this year when we were balls to the wall against Columbus. We outscore them, 5-1 when we're balls to the wall, when our back's up against the wall. Yeah. But then we come out and we try and play this game that it works against most teams. But you have in writing, you have it in proof, you have the concept there. Mm-hmm. We could have beaten Columbus 6-5. We needed to go balls to the wall from the beginning. Right. And I know that's totally against what Oscar wants. And I know we've had super success with the way that he plays. But the proof of concept is there. Ojeda, Enrique, those guys were integral players when we came back both times. They played fantastic. When they came in this game, the concept that we needed to apply was already there. It's not even like it's like, maybe this will work. Like, it has worked.
Right.
Columbus is not, you know, they're a team that they can kill you on the counterattack, but we have this guy named Robin Janssen, and we have this other guy named Pedro Gallese, who's the only, you know, he can't catch a ball, but give him Leo Messi one on one, it's 50-50. He can stop the best players in the world one on one.
Penalties.
So take your risks on one on one. You know what I mean? Right. Take your risks on getting beat. So it's a culmination of a lot of things that make me just wish we could go back and replay it, because I feel like if we play them balls to the wall, if we play them the way that we played them when we were down two goals both times, we probably win that match 3-4-5-1-2 8 out of 10 times. But when we play them like how we play them, we're probably only going to win the match 3 out of 10 times, 4 out of 10 times.
Right. You know what I mean? But it's weird, because you're right about that. That's been the way the games have played out. But you know, there's two kind of people. There's people out there who say, here, take my best shot. I'm gonna be the one forcing. You know, strike first, Cobra Kai kind of thing, right? That's Columbus isn't so much encounter. Columbus is the team that is number one on painting people back on field tilt, home and away. Their possession is high, home and away, right? They're always going to try to trap you in there. And what they play with the back five, it's really back three defensively. The five come up. They have so many people forward. Right, that they keep you in that half, and with Marisha having the game he did, and Wilder and other people just couldn't. I honestly thought Duncan could have imposed himself more on Camacho. Camacho seemed to do really well against Duncan. I thought Duncan could have done. I don't respect Camacho that much as a defender, but I thought Duncan could have imposed himself a little more. But like as you said, like we what Poppy, there's two kinds of people. Let me go back to that. So it's the one who says I'm going to strike first. I'm going to impose myself, the protagonist. But Oscar, in my opinion, he's used the word protagonist. We're going to be that. But you watch most of his team play. His idea of being a protagonist is taking the other person's best punch and controlling them. Like Bill Belichick, I'm going to take away your best player or whatever. Oscar's, it almost seems like to think that the chess game is, I know what you're going to do, and I'm going to take it away and endure it and still beat you. Instead of forcing our way on you per se. Does that make sense? I don't know. That's what I felt like. I felt like, yes, we're going to take, you're going to have the ball. We're going to take it. We're going to suffer through and we're going to be clinical and score. That's Oscar's MO. That's what he changed this year and why we got better and have had our best season. But this felt like we're going to take it. We're going to be on the ropes, rope-a-dope, and then we're going to catch you on a counter. And I said it before, we don't cut teams apart a lot. We score a lot on the counter. But if you cannot get through to out of your half, you're not going to get on a counter. The Faku one was a counter. That was a good chance. All these other ones where we were chasing the game. But if you look at when Rodrigo fouls Rossi, gets the second yellow, 76th minute, expected goals 1.73 Columbus, us 0.37. So yeah, it was too pragmatic. He reverted back when we're pressure, when you're under pressure, you know, they says it shows who you really are as a person. To me, Oscar is just like, I'm a counter puncher. You could try to do what you want. I'm going to outsmart you this way. Instead of saying, I'm just going to put it on the table and this is what I'm going to do. And let's see what you do. That's not who he is. That's just not who he is, man. It takes guts to be able to do like Jose Mourinho's made a heck of a career, won Champions League. You know, the Freddie Ljungberg from Arsenal was talking about the Invincibles. Well, when Mourinho came, Mourinho broke up the Man United Arsenal dominance because Man United really spammed a ton of crosses. That's kind of how they played. They countered and spammed crosses. The Fergie ball was never good, pretty soccer, and then Arsenal played pretty in a bunch of rotations, but they had little guys. So what Mourinho did. What Ljungberg said about Mourinho is that he didn't go chase these people. They sat back and just hit crosses away, and you know, just headed all the crosses away and didn't chase people around the field and just sat back and frustrated people. That year they allowed 16 goals. They still have the best margin between goals and goals allowed in Premier League history. And what did he do? He just said, "I'm going to take all your crap and I'm going to nullify it." And that's how Oscar is. I've always thought he was very much like him. And this is not the game for it. If you would have just put it on the table and said, "This is where we're going to come after you. If we get scored on, I'm not scared. We could score two goals in 10 minutes. I think we would have won that game. But I also would have felt better going out like that because that's what we ended up having to do anyways. So I don't think the team quit or didn't have heart or tried. Of course they did. I didn't think the team set up for penalties and none of that crap. That's nonsense.
No, that
that's just baloney. But this is the team played how they normally play under Oscar and what led to a bunch of frustrations earlier. People talk about, and I'm sorry, I'm going to stand you, but people go talk about how we're playing now and the chemistry. Yeah, of course. The team got better partially because the team gelled and chemistry, but a lot of us were worried saying even with teams that had chemistry and a gelling, the teams he had last year, the year before, you didn't see what we saw after the Columbus draw, this run after Leafs Cup when we were the best team in the league. We didn't see that, but people just thought we were going to see more of what we saw against Columbus, right? And then that's what we ended up seeing. We thought Rodrigo had grown and he wasn't who he is. We thought Oscar had grown. And at the end of the day, when the pressure hit, Rodrigo, and then Oscar'd.
Yeah, And I'm not, we're not in any words, in any way saying, you know, poppy out or whatever. It's, we're just saying, no. You know, it's the fact of the matter is that I think the concept was there. I think the game could have been different. And
the squad, you know, was there.
I'd be lying if I said when the starting line came up, like half of, you know, usually like 100% means like, yeah, if it's not broke, don't fix it, man. Like, yeah, like same starting lineup, woo. But then the other half of me was like, Ramiro, Enrique, like Duncan didn't do jack nothing against Nashville.
Both
and
games.
Enrique, the last time he played Columbus, he balled out, you know. And
we didn't have, Duncan was hurt in that game against Columbus.
I get it, but I'm just thinking to myself, like, I understand your concept of him as a sub, but I would have, you know, it's hindsight is 20/20, of course,
right,
but
right.
But I think that that we could have. I think if we would have attacked that game and, you know,
pressed from the beginning,
and don't get me wrong, the game plan would have been absolutely perfect if Faku just puts the ball in the net in the fifth minute on his left foot, right off the penalty marker.
But
even
that,
if he just
will,
puts it in the net, it's we win the game probably 3-0.
Do you think so?
I mean,
I don't think one goal. I mean, I know it
no,
played
I,
out
I think
that
one
way,
goal
would have
been,
I don't think
would have been
I don't,
a huge difference.
No, no, it would have been. I don't think it would have been enough to win it. And again, that goal was on a counter and all of that stuff. You know, he,
I think
he
we
should have put it on
more opportunities if we would have been up a goal. They would have been pushing a little bit harder. They would have done what Columbus,
I mean,
always does. Columbus, that's what they
Columbus
did against Atlanta in the first round.
Columbus doesn't change how they play no matter what the score is, you know. So
yeah,
that's how we came back on them twice.
Yeah, I think it would have been a little bit more open game, and
yeah,
that would have helped us. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
we wouldn't have been doing what
a part of
it would
have.
It would have been a lot like the last 45 minutes where we were had to bunker because we were down a man, but then we ended up generating more expected goals, more chances than we did the entire time it was level
right.
playing. You know what I mean? If we would have been up 1-0, we would have been bunkering, and then we would have probably been able to generate, you know, those counter attacking chances,
maybe,
and things like that. So, and not left ourselves open to Rodrigo getting a red,
right.
And, you know, and Cucho getting that second goal. So
no, that's fair. I just thought, you know, some part of me thinks if we got that goal, we would have, you know, parked it a little bit, you know, like, you know, from going to team Oscar gonna Oscar, that feels like that would have happened, but who knows? But your point is probably right. Mine is more from trauma, you know. So, and Mike, were you gonna say something?
I was, but I think you guys just kind of kept going and I lost it.
The exact same thing happened to me.
I've never been.
Sorry.
No one's ever told me that in my life before. It's
oh, yeah?
Really?
Today, maybe.
Right. Well, with all that being said, we've had some Twitter polls going up. We'll get into those. We're going to talk about the re-signing, all the player decisions that we have, right? I think everybody's in agreement that we would – do anything we can to keep Oscar, to keep Muzy, and to keep Ricardo. I think we're all in agreement there. I think I don't even think that needed to be a poll. But the most important question that we had, and we started off first with, was this season a success? And we had a lot of people, you know, saying we're second in the East, and or not a lot, but we had a few people saying, you know, we're second in the East, and we go out and didn't even make the top four and in the playoffs, and we lose at home. So no, it wasn't a success. Mike, you want to start us off with that? Where are you standing on it? Was this season a success?
Yeah. I think it was, and I've said this on Twitter. I do think this season was a success. And the reason that I think this season is a success is obviously a lot of people looked at last year and said, last year we won a trophy. We won the Open Cup. This year we got nothing, so it's not as successful as last year. I mean, look at everything outside of the Open Cup run last year, and we played kind of like dog water for a portion of it. Like, you know, we limped into the playoffs, and the Open Cup was just a bright point. We got to see a lot of growth in the season because obviously, you guys, if you've been listening to this pod, which we just had Spotify Wrapped, we got a lot of statistics, people who've been listening to this pod. If you've been listening to since the beginning of this year, when things were kind of bleak for the first 10 games, we've seen a lot of growth this year. This team's matured. This team's gotten better. Poppy's been willing to make changes. Personnel changes were willing to be made. And it's led to the success of the team. So I do feel that there was a lot of success in the growth that we saw. And that led to us being the second best team in the league in the regular season. Trophies obviously are a big part of things. Those are important, but I don't think that should discount the performance that we had this year. I know a lot of our fans will argue of that League's Cup, our exit was pretty disappointing, and it was kind of a crap show related to the team down south. I don't necessarily disagree with that. That was probably some of the worst officiating I've ever seen, and it's from one of the worst officials in all of CONCACAF, so it wasn't surprising. And then our League's Cup, or not League's Cup, our Champions League performance, we lost on a technicality, and we hung with the best team in North America over the last, decade. Tigres is arguably the best team in North America over the last decade. We hung with them toe-to-toe, and they never beat us. We just lost because the away goes rule is something that still existed, even though nobody else uses it. So, all in all, I do think that this season was a success. Did it leave me fulfilled? No. I wanted more. But and I think it's important to look at those as two separate questions. Was the season a success, and was I fulfilled by the season, are two different things. You can be happy with the success of one. You can still feel like you wanted more with the other. And I think that's okay.
Yeah. And your comment on the US Open Cup last year, we played every game at home. We played not the best throughout the rest of the season. And let me be quite frank with you guys, which I've already shared this opinion with you guys. If it wasn't our first trophy, I don't care about the Open Cup, y'all.
Yeah,
it was our first trophy, so I cared. But there's a reason I don't have a U.S. Open Cup tattoo. You know what I'm saying?
It's the most historic. You know, does that matter to you? It doesn't matter to me either. I don't know who won it the year before us.
In hindsight, we're a year displaced, and I only cared about it because it was our first trophy as a professional club. But if we were to win it again.
It also means less now.
It's the bottom for sure, and now they got League's Cup and stuff. I mean, all that stuff matters more. You get the Champions League spots and all that stuff. So,
Alex, like I said before, do you think the Seattle Sounders, they won a ton? Like they won a League's Cup, they won the Open Cup. Doesn't matter that much to those fans.
They won four in the first half of the decade, and they celebrated the first two, and then they just kind of did it as a hobby.
Yeah.
I respect the dedication, and I was there, and I had a great time, and I'll never forget it. But it's winning. If you ask me, do I take winning U.S. Open Cup and bouncing out in the first round and finishing seventh in the MLS, or being 6 point off Supporter Shield, second in the entire league, and the growth that we had, especially in the second half of the season, I think this year was a success. Undoubtedly, especially from where we started. You mentioned the Tigres matches, the League's Cup, I don't care. You saw what happened to teams that went to the final of the League's Cup. They stumbled out because there's too many games. So I could take or leave the League's Cup, but we stepped up when we thought we wouldn't. We did things this year that we never had done in the past. We got through a summer. We played well. We finished strong. We started winning games that we thought we should win. Toronto on decision day, 2-0. It's a game that we think we should win. We won it. Montreal at home, a couple of games before that, we win. And then we were winning games that we never thought we would win. We're the best team in the league on the road. One of the best teams at home. There's no way that you could say, in my opinion, that it's not a success. Like Mike said, did it get me fulfilled? Probably not. But even still, I'm not upset. I'm upset that we lost this game, but I'm not upset with where we ended. I would have hoped that we could have got to Eastern Conference Final at the beginning of the year. But did I think that it was going to actually happen? It might have been 50-50, but it turned into 100%. Chance, we were two games away from hosting an MLS Cup. And you got to do more than just make the MLS Cup to host it. You know, we were dominant all year. We finished better than any team in the West. And, yeah, it was definitely a success, I think. Eddie?
Yeah, 100%. I think that this whole ring culture stuff has gone out of hand in all sports. You know, like, oh, yeah, you had a great year, but if you don't win it all, or you don't have a ring, where's your ring? You know, Charles Barkley, where's your ring? And blah, 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 and all these things. You know, I couldn't afford the
ring, sorry.
Right. Yeah. That's for real. We got out of the awkward Twitter fight about, you know, whether the ring is justified for the price, and, you know, other people are like, you're poor, you don't have the ring, you can't even buy the ring or whatever.
You can go buy a knockoff one now.
Yeah. Those rings, they give them away for free at, like, you know, the Astros World Series, they won it last year. They were just giving them away at games. I know it wasn't those exact, but still. Anyways, I definitely think it's successful. I think the ring culture thing is gone out of hand. I think people need to enjoy moments. I've been saying it all season on purpose, intentionally, because you winning it all is very unlikely. It's not going to – the only one team wins it all. So that means 30 teams or whatever there is in MLS are all – everything's a failure. It's not Talladega Nights, you know. It's, you know, what is it? First place or nothing, or whatever he says. Ricky Bobby.
If you're not last. Not first, you're last.
Yeah, that's just not. It felt great being respected. It felt great having home games. It felt great being looking at the table. It felt great some crazy wins like the Crew match, the Santos Laguna. You know, like it felt great. Those moments, you can't take those away from me. And you know, this team being respected differently this year felt good too, seeing us and feel like the match is happening, we're gonna win. We haven't felt that this whole time in MLS. We're like, oh, we got this, we're gonna win. Last year with the Open Cup, things really lined up for us. We, you know, poor decisions, Nashville pulling their players, penalties, USL, all these home games, it lined up for us in a very positive way. And I said that then. I was called a hater for saying it, and I enjoyed it, and it was great. I cried, all of that stuff, but the reality is, you don't view every season in a vacuum. We're building something here. We've changed the club from a banter club to a club that's respected. We have pieces to build upon. I definitely think, you know, I think you, when you see that with the season that we had, maybe Oscar kind of reverted back, but you see the season we had, you don't look at that and say, blow it up. You build on that, in my opinion. So I wanted all the front office and coaches back, because I think they've earned it. You know, I think there's some there. You got to reward, you know, things off of merit, and we were good. You didn't win it all, but only one team was going to win it all. They'll just other coaches need to get let go too. I don't think those coaches are all failures because they don't win it all. I think we build on what we have, and you build on successes. You don't build on failures. And this year was a success to me. Just great moments and a lot to build on. And yes, they always say trust the process. There's something to that. Every players always go, I'm going to go to that team because I like the project. Well, the project Orlando City is looking positive, in my opinion. And I think we just need to build on it. And that makes it this year's success.
Yeah, I like everything that you said there. Ryder, do you still feel about the same?
I am. I think that you guys have taken a lot of it, but it's one of those things where looking in the just in the league alone, it's a successful season. In the league, we didn't have to fight. Decision day was the most relaxing decision day in club history. We broke a bunch of records, wins, points. I think we tied goal differential and we tied goals for. I don't have those numbers in front of me, but we were very close on those. And in the league, we played very well. But the trophy mentality, you have to have something to show for it. We have something to show for it. We went from barely getting in at seventh place last year when there was no you get in at eight or nine. You got in at seventh or you didn't get in at all. And we got in, snuck in, But this year we played well. We kind of avoided the tournaments. We didn't play well in Open Cup, didn't defend our title. That was kind of what sent quite a few fans into a tizzy about, including myself, about maybe Oscar needs to go. And that was our worst run of form. And since then we played incredibly, but we didn't get a trophy. So what? We built on top of the players that we have. We've learned lessons. We know how to perform. And the owner, not just the coaching staff. The coaching staff has shown they can grow and evolve. Oscar has evolved and grown. And the ownership has shown that they can make tough decisions. They can let Kara go back to Turkey. They can let us not go crazy in the summer transfer window to pick up another DP so we can keep the core group that we have, figure out what we need at the end of the season and go into next year, especially with the rule changes that are coming or rumored to be coming, even though Miami definitely already knows them, to build this team in the offseason. And we can build on this. Anyone that says, let's blow it up, burn this thing down, you are out of your mind. This is a firm foundation that we can build on. And that's what we need to be positive about. Yeah, we lost in the playoffs. We looked like we had the momentum. Death by a thousand paper cuts, but onward, forward, as the philosopher Ted Lasso once said.
Yeah, and let me just end with this. I do not want to be the psycho, toxic fan base that literally has a club, their club have the most successful year
in their history
of the club for every aspect of it. And then say, it wasn't a successful season. There's no logic to that. It's toxic. It's you're not going to create a base to have a successful franchise, a successful club with a fan base of, you know, with that mentality. It just doesn't happen. Like the best clubs, the best organizations in all of sports have what Eddie said. You know, it's a foundation. Do we build on the foundation? Yes, we built on the foundation. This is a project. We're going forward. You know, people that like this are like Yankees fans, and that's why they don't win. You know what I mean anymore. You know, it's like you know, it happens in every sport. You can see it. You know, it's
Cowboys
it's,
fans.
It's the same thing. It's very similar. You know, the Cowboys can go 14-3, and then they lose in the you know, second round of the playoffs, but it wasn't a successful season. Like it is a successful season, but like I said, not everybody can win. I know some people wish everybody could get a trophy, but not everybody can. So
13% of our go ahead, Annie, and then I'll jump in with the numbers about
Mike,
this.
Go ahead, Mike.
I was just going to add, just because going off of that, being a Mets fan, one of my favorite TikToks of all time is there's a guy being interviewed saying, what's the worst part about being a Mets fan, or what's the best part about being a Mets fan? And he said the best part is because it's such a miserable franchise that it helps you build character for the rest of your life. And calluses. That's the kind of thing that we want to go ahead and say that. And then they asked, well, if that's the best part, what's the worst part? And he just said May through September.
We didn't have a summertime sadness. Like
that alone's a success.
You amen know, to that.
I will say, you got to remember though that TikTok was filmed in Queens, New York, so it was a lot more colorful with the language.
That TikTok's a classic. I see that like once every two or three months.
I have it saved on my phone. Whenever my friends dog on me for being a Mets fan, that comes out. I'm like, I know.
Right, you know, and just like the Yankee fans, whenever like they haven't been to the World Series in 20 years, what do they do? You argue long enough for Yankee fans, what do they do? 27 rings, son. 26 rings, son. You'll be 27, 20, whatever they got. You know, and I'm like, you weren't even alive for most of that, buddy. You know,
most of these guys. But what I'm 27 saying, 27 rings for the one Chicago Cubs ring because it meant so much more because of the calluses. That's just my take. I'll die on that hill.
That's a little, I get it, a little second city complex take, to be honest, you know, but I'm just saying, I'm just saying that, they can't enjoy anything in the interim, you know, and especially you listen to the Astros all the time. It's making it worse for them, you know, but the Astros, I mean, they didn't win, and then they didn't win ever until 17, and it was controversial. And then I still enjoyed it, but the recent one felt great. But yeah, all that time suffering, you know, just being respectable means something to me. And you know, like, to me, the Orlando City, this trophy or nothing, well, what did they end up doing? We end up going to the Open Cup. The Open Cup means more to them than it does to you, Alex. And because it's a trophy, even though we were pretty much garbage for most of that year, right? And then, or else, what did they go back to? USL. Oh, we won trophies and, you know, the Farmers League at the time, USL guys playing against plumbers and you know, janitors and stuff like that. And accountants or whatever. So it doesn't mean that you don't respect your history. I'm just saying that there's a
you
similar.
You have to build on that history.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. It's like that was how I interpreted us hanging all three banners at the same time. It's like, don't hang the banners from your past until you win a trophy in your present. And that was just the beginning, because they made space. We're right, going to win more trophies. The Wilfs have said, we're going to win trophies. This is just the beginning.
Yeah, and I just don't think it's fun to ignore all the successes and the obvious positive momentum we have as a franchise, as a club right now, and only be happy because we beat the, you know, whatever, Bethlehem Steel in, like, you know, 11 years ago or whatever. I don't know. Sorry, I wasn't there at the time. But I just mean, like, enjoy this. You don't have to go all the way back there to the redshirt season to be happy about Orlando City. Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say.
Stop disrespecting the Dayton Dutch Lions, okay?
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Just saying, man, right. Just live, enjoy the moments, man. Dang, this is a good year.
Didn't Kyle Smith play for them at one point?
I don't know. But yeah, we always go too long, but we'll go through the polls quick.
Hang on. Do we want to talk about what the people said about the successful season?
Oh, well, yeah, I think, I mean, 87% of you guys did say yes, it was successful, but there's 13% and 88 people out there who voted no. So,
I think those are the trophy only people. Like, those are the, if it's not a trophy 2 years in a row, it's a failure.
Those fans I was talking about, redshirt, yeah, I call them the USL redshirt guys, and then like Yankee fans and the discount. There, I'm telling you, if you made a Venn diagram of who voted for the 13%, they it is in there.
And this was the most voted on one across both platforms. We had a lot of votes on Twitter and a little over 100 on Instagram. So 663 votes. A lot of them said yes. So it's definitely.
Yeah, I think most people are in agreement for sure. Yeah, so it's important not to go and act like most people are, because most people are definitely in agreement. But I think it's important to remember the perspective, and like we always say, Eddie, I think we mentioned it more than any other stat. 6 out of 63 points or whatever, and we're still, you know, we're still here. So I don't forget those times, you know, and I don't think a lot of people do. They remember them and look how far we've came. So, all right, we get into, let's quickly go through our retention, our options, and our players that we have running out of contract. We got Mikey, Luca Petrasso, and Adam Grinwis running out of contract. Most people say to re-sign Mikey, but let the other two go. And I personally voted to keep Petrasso. I would like to see what he has to do in the second year as a reliable fullback. I've seen what our backup fullbacks could be, and I think he can be decent. And I voted to keep Mikey, but I don't care about Grinwis. I think we can definitely move on. Not that I don't think many. I think it's more formality.
To add on to that, for me, for Grinwis, I mean, we already have three keepers rostered because we signed Otero to a homegrown deal. So got to remember that. So we have Pedro, we have Mason, who I think is a serviceable backup, and we have Otero. There's no need for a fourth goalkeeper, in my opinion. And I kind of agree with you.
And two homegrown backup keepers is what you want for a budget in this league.
And you also got to remember, Mikey was a homegrown, and Petrasso was a homegrown that we traded from Toronto, so he would retain that homegrown right with us too. So you know, things to keep in mind, smart roster building perspective to keep those guys on if even you know, even if they can't stay that homegrown status. low budget hits on the salary cap for quality depth.
Does anybody want to get rid of Petrasso here? Eddie Ryder? Did you guys
no.
vote yes
keep him.
Or no on that one?
Keep him. He's a good bench presence. He's a good locker room presence. Keep him. Mikey's an obvious keep.
I think he's shown fine when he's played, and he's on a homegrown and he's cheap. And I like to have like-for-like backups. He can do what Santos does to a certain degree. We could put Kyle Smith for left back, but he can't cross. He can't use his left foot in a meaningful way or whatever. And honestly, Kyle, someone else is going to come up. I want to keep Mikey to just develop him because he was better defensively than I thought this year. He's on the ball is lacking still, but there's upside there, and he's cheap. And I don't mind him being that utility role that Kyle Smith plays because I think he could do it.
And he's also – He's still young. We can grow him. He can still mature. He can be a anchor long term. And there's a good possibility he's going to still get those call ups to the youth national team. So we shall see.
All right, moving on to our loan options. There's two of them. This is the easiest one in my opinion. It's Angulo and Villar Cartagena. I want to buy them both. 90%, 96% respectively, with Yvonne and Cartagena say that we need to buy them both. Does anybody here think that we don't need to pick up or do whatever we can to buy either one of these players? Obviously, I agree with everybody where, Angulo is a little bit lower. Cartagena is an obvious choice, but Angulo is a little bit lower. Probably a little bit easier to find a replacement for. Mike, you're raising a finger.
Yeah, so I think that we should temper expectations with that a little bit because I'm going on a hunch, and this is something to prepare for, is that I don't know if we're going to be able to afford the purchase option for Angulo to where it makes sense for us. Because in a perfect world, yes, would love to buy both of them. But with the way that roster rules work, if Angulo is going to be like a mid-level TAM player or a high TAM player, it is not worth it for us to go ahead and purchase him due to the finishing that he provides us. Now, I know that's going to be a hard pill to swallow. I'm just trying to be a realist about it.
Is that under current rules?
Under current rules, yeah. So we don't know any changes. If they take transfer fees out of cap hits, then spend whatever the hell you have to. But I don't see that happening yet. If Palmeiras tries to hold out for like a $3 million fee or something like that, and he's on a $400,000 a year salary, if you have to go ahead and put that $3 million fee into whatever the length of his contract is, you have to make that a long contract for it to be something that's not going to impact us. And not saying that we can't do that. I'm just saying that, like, being a realist, he might not want to sign a 6-year contract. So that way it doesn't affect us on the salary cap for a long time. Because if he's signing, that still puts him at a $900,000 cap hit, which is kind of higher than what his production really should be worth. So that's just my two cents on it. I would love to keep Angulo, but the price has to be right. And I think that's one of the unfortunate situations of that situation.
I'm with Mike 100% on this. I think Mike Angulo does things that the fan base likes a lot, running and being fast and all of these things, and that gets you a lot of this fan base, especially they really kind of like that hustle kind of stuff. And he's very good at that. And he has some unique traits. That pace is hard to replicate, but we lost Juan and his pace and we adapted to, right? So I'm with you. It's gotta be, the money's right. But Wilder should be cheaper. He's almost 30 and he's more of an impactful player than Angulo is to me.
I agree. And I'm with you on the cap hit. I'll take that cap hit for Cartagena, but I'm not going to take the cap hit for Angulo because I think we can get better production. Although I'd like to have him back for sure.
Especially with having Ojeda taking up a DP spot, like buying for both is going to be a little bit of a hard pill to swallow because Ojeda is on the bench so much and Angulo is starting constantly. So I know it's not a like for like, but it's still, especially a lot of this also hinges on if Facundo is staying or not. And Mike, you and I have had couple conversations about, do we keep Facundo through the off season and into this season, or do we sell him? And that's one of those decisions that the team has to make. So I think that we should keep both if the price is right. I do agree that it has to be a good price and that it also has to work with our rules. And the unfortunate thing is they haven't announced the rules, but they're forcing a lot of these decisions to be made before then. And the good news is with loans, the loans go to the end of the year. So we can make the decision for Angulo by the end of the year after they make the rule changes.
I think the Faku thing, desirable, yes. But I won't be shocked if he's back. I don't think I'll be shocked at all. I won't be shocked if he's gone. I won't be shocked if he's back. So, and then lastly, let's get into player options, club options for players. Two basically unanimous options are between Robin Jansen and Duncan McGuire. Any objections?
I want to meet these eight people that voted no
on Duncan
and Robin, both of them. I didn't look, but I think it's the same eight people. It has to be.
Yeah, you got to have – if Duncan McGuire is a no-brainer, and if you if Robin wants to come back, you gotta let him come back. I think you got to – if he's willing to stay, you have to bring him in. It gets a little bit more iffy on guys like – Antonio Carlos, who we saw, he's gone no matter what. I think a lot of people have thought he's gone. I think he's gone. He's told people after the game he's going back to Brazil, some fans. We've heard a lot of that rumblings, and I think Antonio Carlos will be gone. Once again, it comes down to the roster. You know, we're going to have to sign some center back up and not just some, like, you know, fringe starter guys. We're gonna have to sign a legit center back, I think, this offseason, especially if we let him go. You got Kyle Smith, Jack Lynn, Wilfredo Rivera, Junior Urso. Anybody have any specific thoughts on Jack Lynn? I know he scores a hell of a lot in USL Pro or whatever, but you know, if he's not gonna be playing and like on the first team every match next year, I don't see what's the point of keeping him.
Unless Oscar is going to go two strikers, I don't see. And especially considering a lot of fans are calling for another DP number nine, which I think should be like second or third on the list. But I don't know if Jack Lynn is. I can see us signing him and then sending him back down to OCB, but I don't know if his cap hit would be enough for us to justify keeping him as a third or likely fourth string striker.
So here's I'll interject there. He's on a college contract. Like, his salary is going to be at max 100K a year.
Okay, so then if it's that, keep him for another year. That makes sense.
So yeah, my two cents on it is, you know, obviously we only have two strikers really on the roster right now, and that's Duncan and Enrique. Jack's shown that he can score at the next pro level to the point to where he was the MVP of that league this year. So I think you got to keep him with the team, and if there ends up being the opportunities to get him into actual MLS games and show what he got for more than, you know, 30 minutes a season, then that opportunity will present itself. But I feel like at this point if they pick up the option for him, which I expect that they will, it's going to be the year. It's like, okay, prove to us that you're an MLS level player, you know?
Right. I agree with Mike there. And to be honest, I also want to see Ramiro play some left wing. A lot of times some of these goals that he scored with Columbus, when he scored the two goals at the end, he was on the left because Jack Lynn came in. So I think, especially if we do not re-sign Angulo, I think Ramiro I think he can play left wing. He offers a lot of pace and he's good cutting inside. I think that's something to look at. Plus, we do need three strikers. We have a lot of matches next year, but I don't want to force it. Give him a preseason, see how he is on the first team. He's too good for you for MLS next or whatever. But you know, if not, I mean, load them to USL. Like, I would like to have a gap there between MLS Next and MLS. So just because you killed it there, I mean, he could produce an MLS. And I don't want to force it. I don't care if they're. I don't care about forcing a homegrown to blood them to, or forcing someone else. See, this guy's from college. We don't know him nothing in Orlando. So I don't want to like force to see what we have in Jack Lynn, throw him out there.
Throw him out there,
if he's earned it. Other than that, bro, whatever, who can go next? I don't care. But, I think, you know, see how we preseason, he's cheap. We need three strikers anyways, and let's try to get a relationship with USL club and players like him, because OCB, it's great to have a pyramid, but they're skipping a step. And I don't know I'm not convinced he's going to be productive on MLS, but he's too good for OCB.
How about Wilfredo Rivera?
But yeah, look, I'm Puerto Rican, and I want to believe, but I just don't, you know. Another guy, USL, I think he'd have a nice USL career, you know? But
the only one that people – ended up voting no to, and it was actually close, but yeah. Oh, right. Him and Grinwise.
But let me ask you guys this. I'm gonna make this one a this or that question between the two midfielders. Mm-hmm. Assuming we can keep one, or we will keep one. You taking Urso or Felipe?
Tough.
I am taking Felipe.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Urso, just coming back, love the dude, he's a great guy, he just didn't really show me that much when he came back to us, and honestly, I just, you know, pardon my French, but Felipe's ability to shithouse, man, like, he's elite, he's a good guy to close out a game, frustrate a team, and also he costs like a third of the salary that Urso was getting paid. So
I'm taking Felipe, because I think Urso's role not going to be needed, because we're going to sign a DP10, and then Mauricio, if he does come back, you know, we put Mauricio there instead as a guy coming off the bench to run that 8-10 role. So I don't see a need for Urso.
Yeah.
This year he looked really like he wanted to make a difference. He was really, you know, felt like it was a lot about Urso for Urso than it was about adapting and being part of the team when he did come in. So I'm easily taking Felipe.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I choose C, neither, to be honest, because Urso, I mean, the money he demands for the production now it just doesn't make any sense at his age. And we're just beyond that as a club. Remember how important he was before? Like, look, he played a great reverse ball to Kyle Smith there. It should have been a goal, you know. So I mean, he's useful, but I feel like we could get that in a different way. He takes an international spot too, I believe, still, maybe, you know, I don't know. I just, you know, just give me someone who's 70 years younger, who, you know, I think we can make that work with the money he gets paid. And Felipe, yeah, like I feel Urso's good in the clubhouse too. So is Felipe. Felipe's cheaper. I like to see Felipe, like, he lives here. So already, I think so. I'm, you know, academy or coach or something, get on staff. I could see that, but yeah. Okay. He's great at, you know, being a jerk and, you know, housing around and all that stuff and closing. But how many times has he done that? How many? He got like DMP for like 8 games in a row. Like he comes in for 3 minutes and marked Hani Mukhtar. Like, you can't get someone else for that. 3 minutes to do that. Like, what is
Most
it?
Of these are bench players.
What is it really like? Yeah. What is it? Is it like, is that worth money? You know, I don't know. Like, I just don't think there's a game where like, there's no way we close it out without Felipe coming in, you know. Like, I just don't think it's that valued. I think it's more the locker room and the experience, that kind of stuff, and the vibe, that is why he's there. But I don't think I think those games that he came in to close, that we could have closed them out sans Martin Felipe or not, personally. So that makes him, you know, replaceable to me.
They are replaceable, but here's the thing. At least one of them is contingent on two players. And I think that if both these players stay, at least one has to go. If Wilder stay, if we buy Wilder and we keep, and Mauricio doesn't leave, maybe we keep a coin flip of Urso or Felipe, depending on how Oscar wants to go with the club. But if both Wilder and Mauricio don't come back, we need at least one of these players to be coming off the bench to do some minutes. And unfortunately, I think Felipe is going to be that, partially out of experience and partially because I'm pretty sure he's cheaper. And Mike, correct me if I'm wrong, but that'll be one of those things where we need to see how things develop. I will say this, we have all skipped over. We just got to pour out one for the accountant, Kyle Smith.
Oh, I was going to get to him last.
That's sorry to take your thunder, but he's outlived his legacy, and I say adieu. I think he should get all the accolades out the door for just lasting this long, but and for having a memorable last appearance. He didn't get the goal, but he had a memorable last appearance, and we should send him out to sea. We should see if he wants to join the accounting department in the front office afterwards. But
Jeez.
He should be a part of it. I bet he loves it here. I bet he's just like, I'm just happy to be here.
I feel the opposite. I want to re-sign Kyle Smith because I felt like this is one of his best years that he's had with us. He played a great role this year. Last year we made him like be a starter. This year he played an awesome role. He fit right into his role. He's a fan favorite, and he brings MLS experience that not a lot of you can't get that from anybody. So
yeah,
I think we should keep Kyle Smith.
I'm with you, Brown. I think we should keep Kyle Smith, but I think he's replaceable. But he's cheap and he's good value. He got a raise. On this last year. So I think, probably reset that back to where he was before.
I would appreciate that. I'm going to get a lot of hate for this.
But no, I think he's got good value because he doesn't play for five games and then comes in and plays well. And I think he's more of a true closer in that sense than Felipe. And he could come in right back, left back, and center back, and do a job at any point, and that's useful. And some people they just don't come off the bench, and they need to get back into it. Kyle comes off the bench, and he's ready to go, man. He's like that friend that you haven't talked to in 10 years. You just pick up like you were talking yesterday. That's Kyle Smith, but in
football. I was impressed with him for the majority of the year. He never really let me down, honestly. All year he did exactly what. Asked him, and I feel like he's super comfortable in the role that we asked him to play. Whereas when we asked him to be a starter, I feel like he's very, I don't want to say uncomfortable, but it's just not what he's there, I don't think he expects, we need to be expecting of him.
And he's a smart guy. He can do the little bit inverted thing and all that. Look at the shot that he had. Look at the run that he made. That was smart. It almost worked. It wasn't like a crappy shot. It was a good save. It barely got saved off a foot, but just the fact that he even thought about making that run, that was good. Playing on the left side, as a right footed player, so I think he's good value. He's like a BOGO. You get Kyle Smith. You get chips and you get a drink and a hot dog. It's like it's all of that together. It's all like that. It's not like great for you, but it's fun.
He's nice to have because he's got the American citizenship and he's cheap, but is he going to be worth the roster spot if we don't add roster spots, especially going into this year where we have a lot of competitions?
I think that makes him more valuable because, he gives you spots. And if we're wasting roster spots on Wilfredo Rivera and Adam Grinwis
anyone that thinks Adam Grinwis is going to get re-signed –
Sorry. Yeah, or I'm just saying this year, for this year. Yeah. So I think he's worth it. Mike, what's your vote on that?
So my thought process is realistically, we're probably it's going to be between Kyle Smith, Mikey Holiday, and Luca Petrasso that we're going to get two of the three that are going to be back, is what I think. And it's, do you want to go with the side of the youth with Mikey and Luca, who are both outright fullbacks? Or do you want to go with one of the youth, which would probably be Mikey, because I think he's a little bit further ahead of Luca, in my opinion, and Kyle for his versatility. It's probably going to end up being the latter if Oscar remains as head coach, because we still don't know coaching decisions. But Oscar likes Kyle. Like, that's going to play a role in it too. If Oscar's back, Kyle's back. I feel like that's going to be pretty simple. So,
I like that thought. So you think Mikey Holiday might be gone?
No. I think Mikey Holiday is the one for me that is best likelihood of returning.
I think it's
Luka. Mikey one, Kyle two, Petrasso three.
Yeah.
I think it's safe to say Kyle Smith is Oscar's favorite gringuito for sure.
All right. Let's get out of here. I think we're at like an hour and a half. We were gonna just only be an hour.
We'll
end it on that, Eddie. No,
never kidding. Say how what our time limit is before we start.
No. All right, enough of you guys. Let's get to shout outs. Anybody got one dialed up?
Yeah, just thank you to the club this year for having it for a successful season. I appreciate that. Shout out to Oscar for turning things around, and the architects and the Wilshers spending on the DPs and the Jared Dillon for listening to the fans on some things, and all the listeners and everyone who's engaged with us online and listens to the show. Thank you to that. Shout out to that. And that's it, I guess. I'll leave it on a positive note.
Yeah, I got one. I'm not going to leave it on a positive note. Shout out to Tops. November 29th, and they just released the MLS trading card sets for 2023. On the dawn of the conference finals, but we got them. So I'm actually sitting here. Guys are probably seeing me look over to the side. I have a break that I bought into that's going to be starting soon. So I was watching the break beforehand just to see if any Orlando cards come out, and hope that Orlando cards are going to hit in the next one. But if you guys do like trading cards and collecting them, Orlando City actually did pretty well with this set. We have a lot of stuff in it, which is dope. We don't have any relics or anything like that, which is a bummer, but yeah, shout out to Tops for being like an unmitigated disaster.
No relics at all this year.
Yeah, we have no relics this time.
We got auto. Oh. We got a Cara auto.
No. He's not the only auto we have. We have a good auto too.
We have Faku autos too.
I've got a Faku auto already. I got it directly.
Yeah, we have top secondhand Faku
autos. I don't know what any of you guys are saying with autos and relics and all that. And
Autograph.
Oh,
relics are like jersey patches in the
piece of a jersey that may or may not have been worn.
I'm the relic because I'm too old to know what you guys are talking about. When America was great, I had, you know, I just opened a pack of cards and put them in a sleeve. You know, I don't know what you guys are talking about.
Ryder, you have a shout out?
I mean, I could be negative and talk about HOAs, but I'm going to be positive. I'll leave the HOAs for the Christmas finale. I'll be positive and I'll talk about just the experience of going to the first match and the last match of the season. It's nice to see that people show up. People are coming out. People came out for this playoff match. And a lot of people stayed even after the match ended. It's nice to see that people are supporting this club again, that we've gotten a lot of new fans to the point where a lot of turnover in the supporter clubs. There's a lot of new people, but it's nice to see. And yeah, they're not red jersey fans. I don't think, are any of us technically red jersey fans? I've definitely bought a red jersey on eBay, but
I mean, I have one in my closet. Yeah.
Yeah. Look, I wish I was there from the beginning. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying to enjoy moments now. You know what I mean?
But exactly. I would have loved to be there at those championships. And this is what my shout out is to, like, enjoy the moments we're in now. You can look back on the history and appreciate the history, but we can't gatekeep. We can't say, oh, because you weren't here from the beginning, you don't know anything. Welcome fans with open arms, because we want to grow this club. We want to get butts in seats. We want people to appreciate this and actually love it. And that's why we do this podcast. It was very, I loved seeing the picture of the five of us. Cleon, we really missed you. Hope you're feeling better after your little flu experience this week. It wasn't a pillow fight. He did actually have the flu.
Among other things.
Sciatica. Come on. Sneezing on, from the flu. Sneezing.
Next.
Mike.
I think it's time to put that discussion to bed about Cleon. It's reached its conclusion. Okay. More
I'm
than
just
once.
Shouting out Cleon.
More
I'm
than once
seeing.
We brought this up, you know?
I yeah. missed seeing him, but it was great. And this is a funny thing. Amongst all of the podcast hosts, I actually met Mike the night of the Open Cup final. That was the first day I met Mike. And the only person I've never sat with for a match was Alex, because everybody but Alex came out for the last Atlanta game we went to. And Alex was understandably being with his family. And it was just nice to sit with you, bud. It was fun. Nice to finally hang out and watch an actual match together. So I love this fan base. I love potting with you guys. And I just want to keep growing it. We were very excited to see our stats today on Spotify Unwrapped. Pod is growing. I think it's safe to say we're not going anywhere. So we do this for the fans, by the fans.
I want to shout out Ricardo just because if this is the last time that I get to shout him out, I want to shout him out. Thank you for changing this club. You and Muzi have been awesome. I hope we get to re-sign all of you guys, but thank you. That's mainly what I got to say to Ricardo. I saw him after the game. He was right in the tunnel. I don't know if you boys saw him.
They were the last two off the pitch.
When Cucho's goal went in, I could just, it was hard. It was hard to watch Ricardo, and I tried to go over there and tell him, you know, we'll be back next year, but he was just, he was having a rough time, you know, and you could tell that the passion and how much he loves it and his reaction. So, so thank you, Ricardo. Shout out, to Ricardo. And more fun, shout out to the Podcast Fantasy League, the most incredible and competitive fantasy football league I think I've ever been in.
Hunger Games, baby.
Yeah, we got the spots 3 through 10. We got 6 playoff teams in. We got 2 weeks to go. Spots 3 through 10 are separated by 1 game. It is a complete toss-up on who's going to be in. So
you're telling me there's a chance.
Lee is already relegated, and if we can get a second league going next year, we might have to split it up, maybe go down to like 12 or 10 and 10. We might go 10 and 10 or something. But
send messages if you want to join.
But yeah, send us messages if you want to join.
We already have 2.
Yeah, we have a couple, and I think we can get a few more to make 2 different leagues and have a true promotion relegation podcast fantasy football league. So
I'd have to buy a second belt.
The rest of the world to finally respect us.
Yeah, we'd have to make like the winner get like it has to be like a $90 million game for the relegate for the League Two or League One to get it. You know,
no, the League Two trophy. It's not going to be a belt. It's going to be a pair of suspenders.
There you go.
yes.
Thank you. Like you said, thanks everybody for listening. It's always awesome to see the numbers. And we appreciate you guys for tuning in. We're going to have one more pod to go over our preseason predictions. We'll have on that show, we'll go over roster decisions when they're out. We'll go over hopefully talking about re-signing our front office staff and our coaching. And we'll talk about all that on our final pod of the season heading into the new year.
And lastly, check online December 1st. They gotta disclose whose options are picking up, right, Mike? So So that's Friday.
By Friday, it looks like we'll probably have an idea. That's according to Tom Bogert. He said by Friday, realistically, if you've been eliminated from the playoffs, your decision's got to be reported to the league office. So I don't see any reason why we wouldn't hear that day too.
Cool. Well, no, thank you guys all for listening. Office. Thank you, boys, for another hour and a half long podcast. I love you guys. And I I'm excited, like Ryder said, for 2024. We're going to have some changes. We're going to try some new things, try and get more out there for you guys. So
you're looking good in full HD, Alex.
So, yeah, Mike sent me this nice camera, so I got off the Flintstones camera that I was using before. So it's been fun. So thank you guys. We appreciate y'all as always. Even though we lost, even though the season's over, it is and always will be Vamos Orlando.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Orlando Lions Den podcast. Don't forget to follow us at Orlando Lions Den on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram. See you next week in the Den.